Welcome to God's Acre on the Go, a worship podcast of the Congregational Church of New Canaan in New Canaan, Connecticut. To learn about the life of our church, our in-person ministries, and the virtual connections and offerings available, please visit us at www.godsacre.org. Now, wherever you are, wherever you are going, we welcome you to worship.
Church family, good morning. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to God's Acre on the Go. This is a special Sunday on God's Acre. We have back from Maine our former beloved associate pastor, Reverend Eric Dupuy, preaching this morning, so you'll be hearing from him in a moment. It's also a bluegrass mass, so if you happen to get this and want to tune in online to the worship live stream or the video afterwards, it should be a really enjoyable and spirited time. We don't have bluegrass music for you on this particular podcast, but we do have from Sloan Alexander and Eric Burns a song that is every bit as spirited called Build My Life. Please enjoy this anthem as you prepare your hearts for the word that the Lord will speak through Eric to you.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Oh, we live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save a man. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Oh, we live for you. Holy, there is no one like. Beside you, open up my eyes and wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around you. Jesus, name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save a man. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you.
The scripture we're looking at today is Matthew chapter 21, verses 23 through 32. When he, Jesus, entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority?" Jesus said to them, "I will also ask you one question. If you tell me the answer, then I will also tell you by what authority I do these things. Did the baptism of John come from heaven, or was it of human origin?" And they argued with one another. "If we say from heaven, he will say to us, 'Why then did you not believe him?' But if we say of human origin, we are afraid of the crowd, for all regard John as a prophet." So they answered Jesus, "We do not know." And he said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things. What do you think? A man had two sons. He went to the first and said, 'Son, go and work in the vineyard.' He answered, 'I will not.' But later he changed his mind and went. The father went to the second and said the same. And he answered, 'I go, sir.' But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father?" They said, "The first." Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are going into the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him. And even after you saw it, you did not change your minds and believe him." The word of God for the people of God. "By what authority are you doing these things, Jesus? What committee on ministry authorized you to preach and teach? Can you provide us your seminary transcript and a copy of your diploma? We have no record of your ecclesiastical council. Who authorized you to serve communion? Who said you could preside over the breaking of the bread? By what authority do you heal lepers, Jesus? Show us your license to practice medicine. Where did you complete your residency? What gives you the right to go around making the lame walk and the blind see? Which rabbi gave approval for you to work on the Sabbath, healing and casting out demons in the synagogue? By what authority are you doing the things you do, Jesus? We're going to need to see some credentials. How many books have you written? List the prestigious journals to which you've contributed articles. Are you even a member of any professional associations? Who gave you the authority to feed large crowds of people, Jesus? Where's your Board of Health-issued certificate in safe food handling? We understand you like to turn water into wine. We'll just need to see a liquor license. By what authority are you doing the things you do?" One day, the chief priests and the elders questioned Jesus, asking, "By what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority?" Instead of simply being in awe of what Jesus was doing or supporting his miraculous ministry, the chief priests and elders only had one question: who gave you permission to do all this? Now, I have very fond memories of my seminary days. In fact, Chapin, Tammy, and I were all students at Boston University at the same time. Tammy was in the law school. Chapin and I were at the School of Theology. We were just kids back then. There was something my preaching professor told the class in our very first day. He said, "The devil had no interest in any of you until you applied to seminary." That was his way of saying, you were no threat to the devil until you decided to do the Lord's work. The devil has no interest in us until we decide to better ourselves, until we commit to making the world more peaceful and more just, until we decide to take up our cross and follow Jesus. That's when the devil starts taking us seriously and tries to undermine our efforts. That's when the questions come, like, who gave you the authority to do what you're doing? After Jesus began doing God's work, the chief priests and elders questioned him, asking, "By what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority?" Today we're going to answer that question, and I'm just going to let the cat out of the bag. There's no need to keep you in suspense. The answer is God. God gave Jesus his authority. Now, knowing this congregation as I do, knowing how insightful you are, I'll bet many of you came to that conclusion all by yourselves. You didn't need some hotshot guest preacher to come in here and figure that one out for you. The one we claim to be the Son of God, the Anointed One, received his authority from on high. And I want to suggest to you there are two kinds of authority. There's external authority. There are outside forces that have authority over our lives. Whenever I get pulled over for speeding, I become very aware of external authority. I think the chief priests and elders were very invested in authority over the lives of others. But there's another kind of authority. There's an internal authority. It's the power God gives each one of us to take authority over our own lives, to make choices. The Pulitzer Prize-winning author Viktor Frankl famously explained that the only right each person possesses that nobody can ever take away is the right to choose how we respond in any situation. No one can take that away because it comes from within. Now, it seemed Jesus just showed up and began teaching and preaching, healing and casting out demons, causing the lame to walk and the blind to see. He didn't seek permission from those around him, nor did he wait for approval. He didn't let opposition from the scribes and Pharisees prevent him from doing God's will. He didn't let the opinions of others get in the way of his ministry. His God-given authority came from within. Now, apparently, it showed in how Jesus handled himself. People recognized there was something different, something remarkable about him. Earlier in Matthew's gospel, we're told the crowds were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. I think this is important today because I think that when it comes to doing God's will, it's difficult to claim our authority. We live in a post-Christendom world in which the culture around us does not necessarily share our values. We become too concerned about what somebody else thinks of us. We try to please too many people. We seek external approval rather than exercise our God-given authority to please the Lord and live faithfully. Can I give you just one example? The number one complaint I hear in my ministry is exhaustion. Folks complain about their schedule, that they're pulled in too many directions. Now, I understand that if you have a demanding job or children at home, there's just stuff that has to get done. We do have responsibilities and obligations. But if you don't have the time in your life for the things that matter the most, I would challenge you to look at your calendar and think about the choices you make. Chances are you're not exercising your God-given authority over your own life. If your child is in trouble in school, think about it. You'll move heaven and earth for them. You'll use all the power and influence and connections you have to resolve that situation. If I had to get shoulder surgery, chances are someone in this room could get me in to see one of the top orthopedic surgeons in the world. We hear, there's no problem too big for us, Pastor. So the pastor might say, great, will I see you in worship on Sunday? Well, unfortunately, that's when my pickleball league meets. I'm afraid there's nothing I can do. My hands are tied, or my buddy made a tea time for 9 a.m. I really didn't have anything to say over the timing. If you'll use your authority to make things happen, in your family or at the office or in the boardroom or in town government, why not use your authority when it comes to your faith? Is it that you don't have time for Sabbath and the things that matter most? Or is it that you're not using your God-given authority to make the time? We have choices. Did you notice in the reading that the chief priests and elders refused to make a choice? Jesus said, I will ask you one question. If you tell me the answer, then I will also tell you by what authority I do these things. The question was, did the baptism of John come from heaven or was it of human origin? They never answered the question. They refused to decide because they were too concerned about how they would be viewed by others. If they said the baptism of John came from heaven, they'd look pretty silly for not believing John. On the other hand, if they said the baptism of John was of human origin, they would hear it from the crowd. The crowd believed John was a prophet. They might have launched a revolt. They might have stripped them of whatever formal authority they had given their position. So they replied, we don't know. Now, allow me to pause here and affirm, we don't know is a legitimate response in the religious life. God and matters of faith are largely a mystery. None of us are expected to have all the answers. Why did God create a world with so much suffering? We don't know. The Bible says Jesus will come a second time. When will that happen? We don't know. How many angels can fit on the head of a pin? We don't know. Is God able to create a rock so big even God can't lift it? We don't know. While in seminary, many an afternoon, Chapin and I sat at the BU pub, beer in hand, pondering great mysteries such as these. We probably had more time to goof off than Tammy had at the law school. When it comes to religious matters, we don't know is often a legitimate response, but not in this case. In this case, it was used to avoid responsibility, to undermine God's agenda for their own agenda. Many years ago, I was ordained in the United Methodist Church. For those who don't know, the United Methodist Church has bishops that oversee a geographic area. When I was ordained, the bishop laid his hands on me and said, "Eric, take authority. Take authority as an elder in the church to preach the word of God and to administer the holy sacraments." The wording was clear. The bishop did not say, "I offer you authority" or "I give you authority." It was an instruction to take authority, and take authority for a specific purpose, to do God's work. I believe God calls each of us to use our authority, to do God's will, to put God first, to make faith our priority. So imagine this. Imagine the hand of God is upon you, and hear the voice of God say your name. Take authority over your own life. I give you the power to choose. I give you permission to disappoint others in order to be true to my call on your life. There's something different about a person that's able to do that. People ought to look at us as Christians and say, there's something different about that person. That person lives as one with authority. Let us pray. Holy and loving God, we give you thanks for this life and all the ways that you offer us your grace and provide for us. And we're so grateful that you give us power to determine our destinies. We give you thanks that you allow us to make decisions that can take our lives in faithful directions. So God, help us to use that power faithfully as we go through our days. Amen. And friends, may the peace of Christ and the love of God and the power of the Holy Spirit be with you today and every day. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Worship on the Go. To support this podcast and the ministries of our church, please consider making a contribution by clicking the Give button in the top right on our website, www.godsacre.org, or within today's email. God bless you and have a wonderful week.